tear your veil. And the preach is going to be about worship. Ants asked me to do this preach a little while ago. But maybe to explain this imagery of tear your veil a bit better. We understand that when you get married, or very traditionally when you get married, the bride will wear a veil. But the veil that I'm referring to, it's kind of like that. But it's more the veil that we put on ourselves. Because what happens is, once we get saved, you know, we don't always, our lives aren't necessarily fully refined yet. And there are things in our lives that actually put a veil over our eyes, that we don't fully see Jesus as we should see him. And so I hope to kind of get that imagery in your mind of tearing the veil. This morning, I'm trusting that actually the scales will be removed from our eyes. We tear that veil, and actually that this morning we'd come face to face with Jesus. So in starting, there's an incredible quote by a guy called John MacMillan. And it says, "If God has no need, then he creates only from desire." If God has no need, then he creates only from desire. So, if this is true, then our first calling isn't to contribute, but to surrender to the reality that we are wanted. To surrender to the reality that we are wanted. I think sometimes we have it completely backwards. We have a performance mindset. We have a transactional love with Jesus. And we say, okay, the more I do, the more I am loved. But when we recognize that God doesn't need, he doesn't need us. He's fully sufficient in himself, in the Trinity. He doesn't need us, which means he created us from a desire because he wants us. And this morning, I need you to realize that God wants your heart. As much as he wants all of us, he's coming back for his bride as all of us, but he's coming back for each and every individual, and that's you sitting here this morning. So when you think of worship, do you picture like a song or like a style? Maybe you think it's like a service, or do you think of a relationship? You see, all these different things can actually look very much like a performance, but Jesus is not after performance. He's not after performance. He's after intimacy. You see, worship is not about a ritual. It's actually about closeness with him. So let me illustrate this. If you imagine that our hearts are like a fire, right? A fire, once it is lit and once you start feeding it, a fire never says to you, oh, listen, you've given me enough fuel now. Like, I don't need to burn anymore. Think about it. The more fuel you put on it, the more it burns. It just keeps burning. It doesn't go like, oh, listen, no, you've given me enough. You know when you make a bra and you've put on a whole bag of wood and you're like, okay, that's enough. The fire doesn't go, oh, no, that's enough. No. The fire is there like, I want more. I want to keep burning. And if you realize that's actually, this is a beautiful picture of our hearts, because our hearts were created for desire. Our hearts were created and they are crying out like a fire that keeps burning. Our hearts are created like that. But when you realize that it is only God who satisfies, it's only him. He is the fuel that continues to sustain us. And that actually, he is our never-ending sustenance. He is the one who we turn to. So, let me quickly outline my preach for you. That was just the intro. Okay, so I'm going to highlight one main scripture, and then I'm going to give you 3 points. Point number one is that God has always desired closeness with his people. Point number two, don't worry, I'll go over these again. Point number two is that Jesus has removed the barriers to intimacy. Point number three, intimacy means that worship is a lifestyle. So let's start off with the main scripture. In Psalm 27, verses 4, Almar, if you could put it up. Oh, that was fast. Goodness. Okay, it says, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." One thing I have asked of the Lord. Here David writes and he says, there is one thing that I desire. And if we read it, what does it say? He says, "One thing I have desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord and I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord all the days of my life. When last has that been your heart's desire? We wake up so many days, and I'm guilty of this myself. I wake up so many days, and my first instinct isn't to go like, Lord, I just want to see your beauty today. My first instinct, you wake up, and you're like, oh, Lord, thank you for a new day. And then, you know, you pick up your phone, and you see notifications, and you start running into the rest of your day, or you start remembering, oh, my word, there's some work that I had to do that I didn't finish. And so you start running into all these things, or maybe you wake up, and your first thought is like, you're just so ready for a cup of coffee. You know, like, we wake up and that goes, but here we see a heart that's saying, actually, there's one thing that I want. I want to be in the Lord's presence every single day. I want to be in the Lord's presence. So let's go to point one. God has always desired closeness with his people. So I want to show us something here. In the Old Testament, we see that worship is expressed in many different forms. So in our modern church era, we often base a lot of the way we express our worship from the Old Testament. It's often referenced in the New Testament, but we see a lot of the expressions in the Old. So one of those ways that worship is expressed is in the word barak, which means bowing. So coming down low, worship. The second one is yada, which means lifting your hands. Like lifting your hands in worship. We often hear even songs, you know, throw up our hands. The third is shouts of praise, known as shabak. But I can imagine if you have like 100,000 people all shouting at the same time, like going for it, it'd be crazy loud. Then you have dancing, like David danced before the Lord. And then you even have expressions of music being worship. The word there is zamar. So I've actually asked the volunteer if he could quickly come forward. So if you could put up the scripture for us quickly, and he's going to reenact the scripture for us. 2 Samuel 6, verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. What does that look like? Dance with all of your might. Woo! Thank you so much. I appreciate it. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And we see, like, even through these words, like, there's so many beautiful words of how we can express worship. And this is just what we see in Scripture. But then, I want to ask you a question. Why does our worship often look a little bit like this? Or maybe your worship looks a little bit like this. It's a bit of a stark contrast. For those of you who are listening, I had a sip of takeaway coffee, took out my phone, hands in my pockets. The reality of it is this. Oftentimes, we need to see that what is our heart being drawn to? And what are we expressing? What am I expressing? If I'm standing here going like this, taking a sip of coffee, where's my heart? What am I showing? I want to make a point here. It says this: worship is in every expression of a heart drawing near to him. Worship is in every expression of a heart drawing near to him. We see a lot of different ways, and I think there are so many more. I can't illustrate all of them. It would take me forever. But when you realize that actually worship is, Lord, I want to draw close to your heart this morning. I want to draw close to you. I want to surrender my life to you. When you wake up in the morning, what is your heart doing? Now here's I'm going to contradict myself for a second and maybe show you something different. You can be sitting and having a cup of coffee and it can be worship. If you're sitting and having a cup of coffee with the Lord and drawing near to his heart. But there are two different types. I want to show you this as well. You have personal worship, where it's my heart drawing near, pouring before the Lord, loving on him. But then there's also corporate worship. And in corporate worship, we see a lot like the Old Testament there we see. It's bowing, it's lifting hands, it's shouts of praise, it's dancing, it's in music. That's often corporate. And personal worship is often those things as well in private. But it can also just be going for a walk with the Lord. It can also just be pouring your heart out before him. So now we see that there's a lot of ways we can worship. But I'm going to go on to point two. It says, Jesus has removed the barriers to intimacy. So we got to realize that worship is an expression of us being close with God. It's in intimacy with him. So under the old covenant, God's presence was separated from people by a thick veil. So we know we had the temple, and inside the temple, in the very middle parts, had the holiest of holies, the most holy place. And it was separated by a veil. And literally only once a year, the high priest was allowed, and he had to do a number of different things and sacrifices before he could enter, and only once a year. And they would actually tie his ankle, they would tie a rope around his ankle, because if he entered the holiest of holies and he hadn't given the appropriate sacrifices and doing the right things, if there was anything unclean in him, he would walk in and die, and they wouldn't be able to go fetch him. I can only imagine the imagery of the first person figuring that out. Priest dies and he runs inside. And now you've got two people. Yeah, well, exactly. And now you've got two people. And then, anyways, sorry, my mind got carried away. but you understand, like there was a price that had to be paid for that, right? But then when Jesus died on the cross, everything changed. And this is such a significant moment in Scripture and even in the world. The gospel tells us that at the very moment in Matthew 27:50-51, let's have a look. It says, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. So this is the moment that Jesus goes up to be with the Lord. He yields his spirit up. And the curtain was torn. That curtain that they're referring to was the curtain that was in the temple. I mean, some accounts say that the curtain was like literally almost 10 centimeters thick. It was a thick curtain. And that tore straight down the middle. But think of the symbolism of that. It means that the holiest of holies is no longer bound to that one place. But actually, he's here right now. He's here right now. The Holy Spirit is here right now. We don't have to do all those sacrifices, those rituals, those things anymore. But actually, God made a way for us to experience the holiest of holies. So in Hebrews 10, we see the result of this. In Hebrews 10, verse 19, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holiest places by the blood of Jesus and by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. So we see now we can enter into his presence with our full confidence because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. That veil represented the divide between God and man. And now that that is torn, today there is intimacy with Christ. Today he is here and he wants your heart. See, it's no longer, worship is no longer a distant and a formal thing. What's limited to the qualified few. Remember, only the highest priest was able to go into the presence. No. Because of Jesus, worship is now face to face. Sometimes it's difficult to visualize that because it's not like Jesus is physically standing in front of me, but his Holy Spirit is right here and he's face to face with us. And he says, I want to have face to face worship with you. And he invites us to draw near to him. We have full access, full assurance, and full intimacy. So point three, intimacy means that worship is a lifestyle. All right? So I want to illustrate this. We all know like what type of fuel we put in our cars, right? And if you don't know, then you will have a very shocking experience sometime soon. If you throw diesel in a petrol car, it's not going to go anywhere. If you throw petrol in a diesel car, it's not going to go anywhere. It's not made for that. Or how about we're very careful, like for those, Aziz and Shan, you're very careful about what food you give your newborn, right? And so we're careful about what fuel we put in our cars and what we feed our children and even our own bodies, or maybe even our pets. You know, very careful about what food we buy for the pets, right? But what are you feeding your heart and your mind? What are you feeding your heart and your mind with? You see, the scripture that says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you say, well, Matt, worship and prayer just doesn't come naturally to me. It's just too difficult. Well, maybe we're on the wrong diet. Maybe we've been feeding ourselves with things that are actually wrong. We're so consumed with what social media says, with what the world says, with what that podcast says, or that news channel, or what's happening at this office and that thing and this. Like, we're so consumed with what's happening that we're actually not feeding our hearts right. That image of the fire that I mentioned in the beginning was literally that. What are you feeding that fire with? Are you feeding it with the Lord, with scripture, with worship? Or are you actually feeding it with everything else that doesn't burn, that doesn't satisfy, that'll leave you dry? In the prayer meeting, we had beautiful words of feeling like it's dry, long hair, and actually realizing that we need to be saturated with the Lord. So in concluding, I want you to consider this, that one day we'll have eternal intimacy with him. See, Revelations 4 and 5, and we don't have time to go into it now, but it's a beautiful portion of scripture. It shows us a heavenly picture of where people and angels are falling before the throne in intimacy and in awe. And the elders cast their crowns before the Lord, and I can only imagine what they're seeing every single time. It's like every time they put the crowns are put on their heads and they see the Lord and they see something new of him and they cast their crowns before the Lord again. I think, honestly, the Lord is far greater than we could ever even understand. And then I want you to consider this for a second, that he says that we are the apple of his eye, which means that for each of us, his full attention is looking on us. So in Psalm 17, verse 8, it says this, "Keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me in the shadow of your wings." I think the only way that I can kind of illustrate this is... on the 4th of February, 2023, I had the incredible privilege of marrying Danny. And one of the things that was so incredible to me, and I heard people talk about it, but I was standing there and waiting for her. But as she came through those doors, my eyes locked on hers, and nothing else mattered. There was 100 people in that room. I had my groomsmen with me, the people, we were all waiting. It didn't matter. My eyes were locked on hers. And I think that's such a beautiful picture of how the Lord's eyes are locked on us. You got to realize that this is the way the Lord looks at us. He's looking at us and he's waiting. He's saying, I want you. I want your heart. I want you to realize that worship is not just something you do once on a Sunday. It's not just something that happens to come on in a song. No. Your life is a life of worship unto him. We have to realize that he's calling you this morning. Elias, maybe you can come up so long. He's calling us this morning, and he's saying, but actually, I want your heart this morning. Now, for some of us, worship might seem a little bit difficult, and it might be something because certain expressions of worship make us feel uncomfortable. But I have incredible news for you this morning. Worship is not about you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what these people think. It doesn't matter. Why? Because you're worshiping before an audience of one. And maybe you're sitting here and you're like, but Matt, that's difficult for me. I don't even know where to begin. And I come back to that first point. Tear the veil. There's something that's blocking you. We don't have time. That's a whole other like series of preachers of what's actually preventing you from coming in. But we're going to trust the Holy Spirit this morning that actually every single one of us would be able to come into a place of full intimacy with Christ. Now, I want to clarify something. Man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. It's not for me to say, oh, but you're not worshiping. It's not for me to say that. You know where your heart is. And I trust that as I've shared this morning, you would recognize that there is actually a higher calling when it comes to worship. There is more for you. There is more the Lord wants to unlock for you this morning. And I want to encourage you. There might be actions that I've mentioned this morning. Maybe it's lifting your hands. Maybe it's getting out of your seat. Maybe like Rudo incredibly demonstrated for us, maybe it's dancing before the Lord with all of your might. Remember, you're doing it for an audience of one. He wants intimacy with us. He has made a way for us. He has paid the ultimate price and torn the veil so that we have access to the holiest of holies. Why don't we all stand together? So I want us to consider for a moment. There are so many things, and only you know where your heart is at right now. Only you know what you're dealing with, what you're going through. I want you to focus on the Lord this morning and just say, Lord, here's my heart. Here's my heart. And I want to make an opportunity this morning for twofold. First, if there is something in your heart or in your life or in your mind that you can think of right now that is restricting you from coming into the presence, I want you to lay it at his feet. Say, Lord, here I am. Here is this thing that I can't do it. And the beautiful thing is we don't have to. He wants intimacy and he wants you to say, Lord, here it is. This is what's holding me back. This is what's keeping me from you. Sometimes it's ourselves. I even want to make an opportunity this morning. If you want to say, Matt, I want to make right with the Lord. I want to come before him. I want to lay my heart before him. If you want to make an opportunity for you to come to the front this morning. If you've never come to the front, if you've never gotten out of your seat, I want to encourage you. Let's move. Come to the Lord. He, as I showed you that picture, like my eyes were locked on Danny, the Lord's eyes are locked on your heart this morning. And he's calling you. So we're going to go into a time of worship now. The musical kind. But I want to trust that if that is you this morning, if your heart's going, Lord, I need you, I want you, step out of your chair, come forward, and just come love on him.